T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
If I take Drew Brees, I take Aaron Rodgers, yep. I take my homeboy, I take Ben Roethlisberger, and I set them in New England with the number one playoff rushing attack, a top five rushing attack, Coach Belichick and a top 10 scoring defense, 17 of the 19 seasons which Tom Brady's played, do they do less?
Oh, way less.
Oh, my goodness. Stop.
This guy is all-time clutch. He's the clutchest performer I've ever seen, including Michael Jordan. And I tell you that only because he's had so many more opportunities on the biggest stage in the sport than Michael had in his sport.
I hate that discussion. I hate that when they say, take this guy, put him over here, and, oh, anyone could do it. So, hey, let's take Dan Marino and put him in Bill Walsh's office. Let's take Joe Montana and put him with Jim Kelly. And let's swap him and see if maybe the Rams can win more. Let's put him on the Jets and see what happens there. You cannot just start making up just scenarios. That's not the game we're playing. The game we're playing is he or is he not, for the next 2 years, 3 years, a top five quarterback? There's the game we're playing. If you think he is, if you think he's a top five quarterback for the next 3 years, Lou, then you got to pay him like you got to pay him $30 million a year.
How do you define top five quarterback? Because his team wins?
Do you think Matt Ryan's a good quarterback?
Who?
Do you think Matt Ryan's a good? His team didn't win last year.
I think he's okay.
I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's a top 10 quarterback.
He had one good year with Shanahan.
I still think based on how hard it is with to Shanahan. Find quarterbacks.
I think that he is a good quarterback in this
So
league.
Do I. Okay, but
above average.
When it comes to finding a quarterback, how hard it is for teams to find quarterback, the Atlanta Falcons.
You didn't answer the question, though.
What was the question?
How do you define top five quarterback?
I don't define them necessarily on their record. I don't, because they can have a crappy defense.
So how do you do that?
I define them on their ability to make other people better. Like, can they take an average wide receiver and make him a great wide receiver? Can they take a great wide receiver and make him a Hall of Famer or a Pro Bowler? Can they minimize damage? Can they get you out of plays? Can they take an offense that, based on the personnel and the coaching, that would normally be for a crappy quarterback, top 25th best in the league, can they make you a top 10? Can you overcome your coaching? Can you overcome your talent? That, to me, is a great quarterback.
See, I don't know how you put a number on that then.
But I think you can tell.
Oh, I know. But I'm just saying, like, what wide receiver did Russell Wilson make great? I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, like I look at, Drew Brees, and did he make Michael Thomas great and Alvin Kamara great? We both got, like, over 200 receptions between the two of them, or did those guys make him great?
Put Blake Bortles in that system, and maybe he doesn't get the throw
so
there.
Maybe he can't even understand the play conception. At some point, unless you watch every single player for every single quarterback and know every single game for these guys, at some point, you do have to look at some numbers. Now, I'm not saying you just say, let's just look at touchdowns and the five guys throw the most touchdowns to the five best players. I'm not saying that. Maybe it's quarterback rating. I don't know. But just how do you judge top five? Brady will win consistently more than probably a lot of these guys. Probably more consistently in the next 3 years, maybe than Pat Mahomes. Kansas City might go 8-8. We've seen this before. Right, we always look at these teams and say, "Oh, forget about it. They're going to take off every year. They're going to be 13-3, and they don't. Brady's usually does, so he'll win more over the next 3 years. But so, statistically, tell me what's it going to look like? I'm not sure he's going to be a top five for the next 3 years on average.
If you were the GM, would you not pay it? Would you not give him a 2 year deal?
No question.
You would give him a 2 year deal.
Yeah, I would.
Okay,
I feel good about 2 years.
Yeah, 60 million two year deal, $60 million. He's getting 30. He's still not the highest paid quarterback in the league.
Well, I know. I'm saying
Aaron Rodgers would be.
If he was a free agent, sure. I already told you, I'd go after him. I might give him 2 years, 80, because I am desperate. Look what Minnesota did with Cousins. I am desperate. Look what Washington did with Alex Smith. Like, look at these teams do. Look what Jacksonville just did with Nick Foles. That's how desperate they are. They talked themselves into a playoff guy who had a good run in the postseason that we don't know if in 16-game regular season he's going to turn into Nick freaking Foles again. So teams are desperate, but if I'm the Patriots, I don't have to do
that. See, that's why I think there's a bigger issue when it comes to his contract.
And he'll never go anywhere.
There's a bigger issue when it comes to his contract, in my opinion. It's not just, we're just working out the details. No, I think there's definite there's a definite difference as far as point of view, philosophy, you know, 30,000 feet view of what's possible. You know, is your play dropping off? That's what I think. So everyone's saying, oh, it'll get done. Maybe not.
All right, let's go to your call, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Greg in Connecticut. Greg, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? Greg? I liked it. I like Rob Parker and all these dinks that give Brady fuel. You know, even Belichick, he's trying to save money and, you know, fuel the boy. Let's prove what you're worth again.
What are you talking about? Prove what you're worth? What are you talking about?
This is what fuels him. Nothing.
So Brady can only have a chip on his shoulder if he has to prove it, an incentive-laden contract. So pay him $10 million a year and make the rest of it, the remaining 20 be incentive-laden, right?
Boy's been doubted all his life. Michigan, everywhere he's ever went.
No, he hasn't. That's the thing. He hasn't.
Just like Pedroia.
Yeah, just like Pedroia. I actually went back and looked at old footage of Brady in high school and what they were writing about. Okay, you want to know his scholarship offers?
Go ahead.
They weren't Eastern Northern Minnesota pooping
state.
Wait,
no. Nobody believed in him. Nobody thought he could play. Who did he get scholarships
from? He had scholarship offers from USC.
Yep.
John Robinson was the coach.
Yep.
UCLA.
Nobody believed in him.
Nobody believed Cal.
Nobody believed in him.
And Michigan.
Went to Michigan.
What are we talking about? We're acting like he was recruited by Northern Arizona and Caltech.
He was drafted in the sixth round, though. That was it.
Okay, so fine. Yeah. So they missed on his evaluation.
The same narrative with Pedroia because he's short. Because nothing in that man's career before professional sports said that nobody thought he could do it.
Listen, I don't get it. People, it's like if he's... They act like he needs some sort of motivation. Like he creates his own motivation for himself.
Sure, and makes things up whatever it takes.
And that's why I say there's something to the whole, all the messages that are, and just say, well, you know, he finally decided to go on Instagram and Twitter, and so he's using it. Don't read into it. No, he's sending messages just like he was on Jimmy Kimmel. Well, you know, hey, that's a good question. He knows he should be the highest paid. I mean,
Please. Let me go to John in Mattapan. John, go ahead. No Big O today. So
who are you going to talk to?
Go ahead.
Say Big Lou.
Well, you know, fellas, I just had to check in because I didn't want to be accused of calling in just to talk to the large and in charge round mound of radio. You know, you guys are having a great discussion. I'm in. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so what's up, sir? John?
Well, is it true, Christian, can you name a quarterback and a coach that have been in the same system together as long as Brady and Belichick? I honestly don't remember how long Greasy and Shula were together. But people that know football, Lou, when you watch, the more football you watch, the more you realize at the level that Tom Brady is operating at is unprecedented. It really is.
No quarterback could.
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, The NFL owners, you know, that's what I was telling the guy that answers the phone. They're not required by law to tell publicly how much money they pay the players. They're not, and they don't.
Wait, did I see this right, John? Did you call NFL headquarters and the NFLPA to talk Patriots salary cap? Did you think that the NFLPA and the NFL headquarters was like a call-in show?
Oh, is this John from Mattapan? Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I actually was doing research, Christian, for my math degree at UMass Lowell.
What'd you come up with?
Well, the NFL in New York City, they just put you on a recording. They don't even answer the phone.
What a surprise.
Okay.
Right?
Not surprised.
Exactly.
Hello.
But the NFL Players Association, gentlemen, they put me over to the legal department, and the very nice person that answered the phone gave me a very, very interesting response to that question.
What was it?
They said that if you're an agent, like one of the big agents for a football player, you would get access to that information, but the public will not. They will not, sir.
Okay.
And that place, I'm saying to you, right, that if that information was public, then the Patriots, that people would realize how great they really are. What, you know, what are they doing with what they're given? It's amazing.
See, it's
unprecedented.
Thanks, John. Call back next week. Big O will be back. But
so wait, when Brady, they say Brady's going to make $14 million in cash this year. They're lying? I know that.
Eh?
Don't we know that?
Eh?
Because you said they don't have to tell you how much they're paying the players. I think I'm pretty sure I know how much they're paying the players.
I think it's pretty widely known. We just assume that because they've always played nice in the sandbox and they've always, each side has kind of compromised a little bit and do what's best for the team, that they've always kind of worked it out. I think there's a sticking point here that, based on what Brady has gone through in the past, makes him negotiate differently. Makes him stand a little bit more firm on what he wants. The salary that he wants, the incentives that he wants. The Patriots want to gain back some control with his salary. Then it'll be tied to some long-term deal. And Brady wants what he's owed.
Nothing's changed with me with Brady. If I'm Brady, and when it's all said and done, there'll be a day where he sits there and says, you know what, man, those last few years, I don't know why they had to make it so hard on me. Maybe he and Josh McDaniels get together. I think maybe they do it right now. Why does Bill make it so hard on us? So he goes out there and he'll spend his money on his defense. He will. He's shown that in the past. Why does he make it so hard in our offense?
Nobody does.
Why does he put so much on my plate? Is it because he wants to see a statistical decline? So all of a sudden at the end of my career, like, he's getting older. You know, again, you know, normally when you get older, I don't know, maybe you give your quarterback, your aging quarterback, a couple of shiny new toys, like an Alvin Kamara. Like a Michael Thomas, why do you go the other way and say, I'm going to build up my defense, we'll run the football, when Tom's sitting there saying, hold on, I appreciate you doing that, but if you give me a couple more weapons, we can still score 35 a game, I can still carry you. Why are you making it so hard on me?
He gives you Shaq Mason, he gives you Marcus Cannon, he finally
can't throw to them.
Well, I don't know, but you can, listen, if you're aging, I want to make sure I can protect you, so he gives you those guys, spends a lot of money there. If you look at, he finally pays Julian Edelman. Other than that,
what's Julian Edelman making? $4 million.
But still, he's not the, when you look at stars, slot receivers go, he's not the highest paid slot receiver. He's definitely not paid, you know, based on his production and what he brings to the team.
You think Brady would sit there and say, man, I wish you went out there and you got that highest paid wide receiver like you did with Gilmore?
Yeah,
wish you gave me one of them.
Well, they were in the Odell Beckham Jr. rumors.
I had Cooks.
That was,
but you didn't want to give him, bump him up to 7.5 for a year, so you, he's gone. I lost Gronk, but you didn't want to replace him with anybody. Why do you have to make it so hard for me in my final years? Is it just to prove that we have to run the ball and play defense to win? Just to show everybody that I am old? And, because, give me a couple weapons and I'll show you nothing has changed.
So Brady talks about, you listen to that Jimmy Kimmel interview, he talks about how there's a salary cap and how he takes less and because he wants to distribute the money at other positions, not only just offense, but on the defensive side of the football also, so the team can be successful, so they can field a good team, so there's not five guys making a bunch of money and then the rest of the roster is making peanuts. You want to keep everybody happy. But where is he, at what point in time, when has Bill spent a bunch of money on that wide receiver, on that free agent guy?
On that
running
back.
He doesn't do it. Doesn't happen.
No.
You're grabbing Josh Gordon, hoping that he can stay clean. That's what you're doing.
You're happy with Julian Edelman. Just happy to make.
You're bringing
his,
in Justin
this year.
Hunter,
they gave him a bump. What is
Decker.
It? $6 million this year. Finally, so it's just no. He doesn't spend on that side of the ball. And he says, "Tom, go ahead, go do your thing." All right. Speaking of Tom Brady, he actually showed up in an article in GQ. Only the article was about Odell Beckham, who's, to my mind, honestly, is just crying and whining throughout this entire thing, if you ask me. We'll touch
He's
on that.
So rough.
Yeah, when OMF comes back right after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
So the preoccupation with these prima donna wide receivers in this new age of passing is so overrated. It is unbelievable. Enough. The best thing that could happen is they kick his rear end out of town and start over. Has it worked? He played in one playoff game and he stunk. I am so sick of hearing about him. It's ridiculous. Every day. Well, does the coach connect with him? Did the coach explain it right? Is Beckham okay with the game plan? Who the hell cares? Go out and play. Since the Giants started kissing his rear end, they haven't won a game.
That was Francesa. Yeah. On Odell Beckham and his time at the Giants. Well, Odell was back in the interview.
Go out and play.
On GQ, kind of came out just the other day, I think yesterday, I believe, Odell Beckham Jr. unguarded. And it gets in a lot of it, you know, his life outside the game and other sports he could have played and dealing with the media and about his trade and if he's in a good place right now.
It seemed like a fashion expo also. It's like he was a lot of different outfit changes.
Yeah.
Big photo spread.
Plus GQ.
Oh, I know.
He's got a style. You
know, I mean, he's really dialed into it. He also went to the Met Gala. So for a guy that doesn't like the attention or the scrutiny, he's sure to show up at a lot of public events. Where he gets a lot of scrutiny. Well, he gets a lot of attention.
It was funny because you know he kind of went after some of the people that criticize him. I think they asked him about Chris Carter when he says Carter says you need to grow up, stop acting like a boy. Does that stuff affect you? He says anybody who knows me, it's hard to sit here when Chris Carter talks about me. Ray Lewis is another one who sits there, talks to me like a little brother, shows love to me in person, we hug and embrace, and then he get on TV and says stuff like he doesn't know God.
Okay. I get what you're saying, but I don't get what you're saying.
So I agree with him when it comes to that. Like Ray Lewis, you've been there before. Like he thinks he's everyone in the league's counselor.
I remember.
Like he calls up everybody in the phone. I tried to touch the young man.
The football field is our sanctuary.
And I said, I got to see you in person because I got to touch your chest. And if I just touch your chest, you will find Jesus. Right? And Chris Carter's another one that just yaps. Right?
Yeah, and it's... And Chris Carter, and both guys had issues while they were players. Chris Carter thinks he was any different than Odell Beckham Jr.
Right.
Especially in his drug-induced stage that he was at early in his career, he had when he was with Philly.
Yeah, so he got into
kicked out of the league.
A lot of the issues, you know, off the field and some of the drama that's always been surrounding him. I think at one point Rob Gronkowski's name came up in this.
Well, yeah, that's what I want to start with because two things stood out because first Rob and then Brady. So the article goes into it's more of a question and answer thing, right, with GQ. One of the questions are, do you think you're under more scrutiny than others? And Beckham goes into, you know, how he watches other players in the NFL. They go to Vegas. They get wild. They go crazy. They jump on stage.
Chugging beer.
Yeah, they're chugging beer, going crazy. And he's like, oh, man, look at how much fun he's having. Look, he's having a blast. This is amazing. So, and then the reporter says, to use a name, do you think you've done anything more inappropriate than, say, Rob Gronkowski?
Oh.
And he says, probably not. It's the same thing. It's like, why can't I have fun? People tell me I'm supposed to be a role model. Well, what are they supposed to be? We're human beings at the end of the day. We earned the right to play in the NFL, but we also earned a life of our own. I just had a talk. He's talking about he had a talk with his uncle, and his uncle was basically saying, yeah, privacy is all you need back. But what stood out to me is that the comparison to Gronk, like, that's not even that's a terrible comparison. The two are nothing alike. Don't give me skin color.
Yeah, no.
Don't give me skin color at all, just as far as personality, because has nothing to do with that. Gronk is so unique and so different than anything we've ever seen. And if Gronk was black, it would be no different. He would still be fun, lovable Gronk.
Get all the chicks wet.
Also, Gronk does not take himself as serious as you do. He doesn't show up at the Met Gala. This is a guy in Gronk... For the early years career, I feel like he had one suit and he had one shirt, and he would wear the same shirt and the same suit at every event, whether he was on Jimmy Kimmel, Late Night with Conan, or if he was doing some charitable event, or if he was going on a road trip. The two are so different; it's not comparable. You can't compare Gronk and his sophomoric, immature personality.
Yo soy fiesta.
To Odell Beckham Jr. Of course they're going to look at you differently. You're so serious. You think you're so evolved. You think you're so important. Gronk doesn't act like that. Gronk makes fun of himself all the time. You think if someone teases you, you feel like they're out to get you.
Well, you said don't give me the difference in black and white and race, because that was one of the questions. The criticism that he receives, and we've heard this before. I think he put out an Instagram video of he and Brady, but he says this is where Brady gets involved. He says, do you think race plays a part, they asked him, in the double standard you're dealing with? And he says, race plays into everything, whether you want to believe it or not. He says, I remember posting a video of me and Tom Brady, and I hate to even bring this up, or bring him in this, he says, but he's passionate. He cares. He wouldn't still be playing if he didn't care for the game the way he did. He throws a cup. He yells at referees. He yells at his coach. It's because he cares that bad. He wants to win that bad. And then he goes on about, I want to win that bad. I care more about winning than anything. We've seen Tom Brady, you know, whine to referees about calls. Right? We've heard it. The high-pitched whine. Right? It's awful. I don't like it. You know, I don't like his voice.
What are we doing?
I hate that. We've seen him walk to the bench and blow up on guys like Billy O or Josh McDaniels or whatever, right?
Why?
We've seen that stuff. We'll throw a cup because he's pissed off. The offense isn't working. He's right. The difference is that when Brady walks up to Billy O'Brien and screams and yells at him, that maybe lasts 15 to 20 seconds, then he sits down, gathers himself, talks to Billy O'Brien about the offense. He doesn't pace up and down the sidelines and have players and coaches walk him up and down and say, Odell, calm down. Odell, come on, we got to play the game. I don't want to hear it. And he's on, you know, the helmet's off and he's going nuts on the sidelines. There's always an over-top effect with him. None of these guys, Rob Gronkowski or Tom Brady, have ever done what he did with Josh Norman. That was one of the most embarrassing things you've ever seen in a football field. He should have been suspended. Talking about losing your cool, he has a temper on the field. He hasn't been able to control that temper. I don't think people in New York are making up all the drama behind the scenes. Fran Francesa talking about, well, is Odell okay with the game plan? You know, or is Odell going to show up because he wants a new contract? Threatening to hold up, that's nothing to me. Because he showed up and he played, that's nothing. But the stuff on the field, he hasn't been able to control his emotions. Whereas guys like Brady, do they get upset? Does every player get upset? Absolutely do. Some control your emotions. You don't, and you haven't. You are immature, and it's time for him to grow up.
See, I just made a quick list because I think, again, you should not, one, compare yourself to a quarterback. Totally different situation, totally different mindset, just the way you're looked at, whatever. Don't use it. It's more a positional thing. So he's no different to me than Steve Smith Sr., who acted the same exact way, who demanded the football, who had when you were around him, sometimes you had to walk on eggshells, and you wondered whether he liked the game plan or not. If he wasn't getting the ball, he acted out. He was a jerk. Flat out, he was a jerk. Unless he got his way. When he was catching the ball and he was scoring touchdowns, he was happy. He's no different than Odell Beckham Jr. What do you think Steve Smith Sr.? Remember all those fights with Aqib Talib?
Crazy.
Like, they hated each other. Put those guys
in. Talib, you know, and Crabtree.
Yeah, it's same thing.
Yanking his chain. That's embarrassing to me, too.
Terrell Owens. Come on. They're all cut from the same cloth. Randy Moss. Michael Irvin. Antonio Brown. I even throw in a tight end. Jeremy Shockey. And if you want to look at a quarterback, a white quarterback that was criticized just as much as you, I'll give you Ben Roethlisberger. I'll give you Johnny Manziel. The guy was criticized for every last thing that he did. Talk the same when he got into trouble.
And when I talk about Odell, I don't even care about the whole net thing, kicking the net, whatever. That was kind of funny. Kicked it, tripped, whatever. Then the next week he proposed to the net. Okay, whatever. That's strange. I don't even care about the boat trip. To be perfectly honest with you, they went on a boat. Next week, the team didn't show up. He wasn't the only one in the boat. There was other guys on that boat. I don't, whatever. It's a bye week.
Yeah,
you made a mistake. It was immature. Maybe you don't do it again. I don't know if that had an effect on the game at all. You know, so to me, it's more of the not being able to control your emotions. You can talk trash with a guy like Josh Norman, and you can have your moments, but you lost your cool.
Yeah, but see,
and on that day,
it?
You weren't, I mean, a good teammate.
Because I would say, okay,
I'm not saying that's it.
The most popular players.
How about the video of him sitting on a bed with some woman in white powder with a mirror and a razor?
Okay, so
have you ever seen a video like that come out on Brady or Gronk?
I would still say, well, Gronk had the porn star. He had the porn star.
You got
picture.
Heat for that, for a picture of the freaking porn star.
He did. He also, I remember last year at the Super Bowl, Was it our good friends down in New York City? Was it Maggie? I can't remember her name.
69 joke to a woman.
A 69
reporter.
Joke. You know what it means? About a hot tub,
right? You know what it means?
Yeah. So they're being critical. It didn't get much. It didn't get much play because it's Gronk, and you can't compare yourself to Gronk. He's different.
You teach first grade? Oh, okay. What class does she have? What class is she teaching? All right. Well, there's some numbers out there. A little math problem. What's 6 times 9 plus 6 plus 9? Well, go tell her teacher to figure it out. Thank you. Figure it out. It's a good answer. Yes, yes, you got it. Wow. You finally figured it out. Wow. Good thing Mrs. Thompson's a teacher.
Okay. So, give me a break. You don't have the same personality. Watch Gronk at a club and watch Odell Beckham at a club. Here, I see Odell Beckham in the VIP, velvet rope, kicking back, sunglasses on, acting like he's the most important person in the world and everyone should respect him.
And Gronk's in the dance floor
Gronk's
making a
with
fool
his
of
shirt
himself.
Off, really having a good time.
Yes,
not
yes.
trying to be cooler or make himself look to be. He's just who he is. And that's fine. And I would say the more attention you get probably means you're pretty successful. Problem is you're pretty good at your job because Odell Beckham Jr. is not the first guy to lose his cool. He's just the most popular person, one of the most popular persons to lose his cool. So, all right, now we're paying attention to you. If you sucked, no one would care or you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. So don't compare yourself to Brady. Don't compare yourself to Gronk. Compare yourself to the other guys that play your position.
No, and to me, like I said, it's just someone that has, you know, acted immature in the past, has done stupid things on the field, maybe stupid things off the field, trying to play the victim and saying that, you know, I'm not getting fair treatment.
He's being picked on.
I'm not. So to me, it is like he's in the best place of his life because he's going to Cleveland. He can't wait for it. All right. Well, like I said, I always feel that, you know, Odell, a talented player. I wish that he would grow up, hopefully before, you know, his career doesn't end because he's amazing, amazing talent. Things don't go well there, I would say, 2-3 years. You know, year one, everything is awesome. Year two, it's time to win. And if things don't go well, year three, watch out. Watch out. Because that's when guys start to become an issue. All right, no Glenn Ordway today. This 3 o'clock hour is brought to you by Feldman Land Surveyors. We will continue to take some of your calls, 617-779-7937. I do want to get into at some point what went on down in Tampa. As a Red Sox, Erod was outstanding last night. We'll do that. Tommy Curran, we'll talk to him from NBC Sports Boston in an hour. All that and more on OMF.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's get you back to more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Here's the pitch. And a line drive looped into the right field, a base hit. Let's see if that does it. Stopping at second is Diaz. Alex not going to take any more chances because a home run and make it a two-run game. Here he comes. So that will do it for Evaldi, not the comeback he wanted.
Joker sticking the call last night. The Boston Red Sox started this 14-game stretch down in Tampa last night and beat the Rays 9-4. It was a good game, you know, and even though I say it was a good game, it's still kind of, even when they win, you still wonder if they make it so hard on themselves, right?
Erod
goes out, 7 innings, 2 hits, couple of infield hits, didn't get over on a ground ball to first, which we've seen over and over again, and it's okay to say it in the telecast, but, you know, I don't understand him. You know, he doesn't do it, and he's great right now. You know, his last 5 starts, he's 4-0 with a 1.76. He's been outstanding. But you're up 8-0 after 7. 8-0. Feeling good about everything, right?
Hey, Eduardo, yeah. Way to go.
You got Evaldi coming
in. Time to get Evaldi some reps.
Now you're feeling good.
Yeah.
He can't
low
get anybody out.
Low leverage situation. Nothing to worry about.
He can't
burn a bunch of runs.
He can't. Five hits, three runs.
Hit, he averaged 97 on his fastball.
And so with two innings to go up, 8-0 against Tampa, who's not built to come back just offensively. They're not. They're built around pitching.
Yeah, but again, this is the Red Sox we're talking about here.
You got to get Eovaldi in the game. You got to bring in Barnes in the game. You bring in Taylor. You got to get Workman up. I mean, it was like a grind for two innings, and it was like, good God, this should be just a cakewalk.
You're right, and it's this is the type of stuff that just kind of lets you know that nothing has changed. Because in a situation like this, it should be really easy for you to just get out of it. But they waste so much energy. It's like after the game's over, you're sitting there going, wow, that could have gone really wrong. That could have gone like Tom Brady jumping off a cliff wrong.
Were the Red Sox?
It didn't, but it could have, based on your history. So you have Rodriguez goes 7 innings. There's only 2 hits. Nothing even leaves the infield. Okay, so he leaves. Eovaldi comes in. He sucks. He's terrible. What was weird to me is that, so the Rays come up, and they get, what, 3 runs in the eighth.
Make it 8-3.
To make it 8-3, you're like, here we go again. Here we go again. And then they bring in some positional player in the ninth. To me, that was weird. To me, that was out of all the teams that do this with. I know you say that they're not built to come back, but it is the Red Sox.
8-3.
It is the Red Sox. You know that they could, based on the way this year has gone, they could have easily screwed this up because they get leads, but sometimes they can't keep them.
But it goes to nothing is easy, and there's been a lot of these. We talk about overuse of guys. And I would say Matt Barnes and Brandon Workman have probably appeared in 3 or 4 more games than they should have. You know, Workman last night just getting up. You know, I know it's not that grueling, but still, he got up, he got hot because he may need to come into that game. And it's just these two guys you can't overuse. And you have to use them. I think it was a game like 11-2 or something like this, like a while back, and they had to come in. Because next thing you know, it was just like, oh, my God, they don't have enough depth out there, and they try to trick them with these guys. Like, I look at a reliever. I'm not saying, because I remember it was a while ago, I was talking about Ottavino, and then right after the Red Sox played him, I was talking about how he's a stud and how they should have got him. He gave it up, and he blew the game. He gave up like 3. And I'm like, you know, but here's the difference. I don't necessarily, you don't look at ERA for relievers, although sometimes I understand it tells a story, sometimes it doesn't. But when I look at a reliever, and he makes 10 appearances, the really good ones are lights out for 9 of them. And then maybe there's a blow up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I look at 10 appearances. How many appearances am I going to get clean innings from you? You know, how many appearances am I going to get good outings from you? To me, that's how I judge relievers, whether they're good or not. I look at game logs and say, you know what? The last 10, for 9 of them, he was outstanding. He gave up 5-1. Okay, whatever. 9 out of 10. That's what I want. I feel like Workman will give you 9 out of 10. Barnes, 7, 6. As long as he's not overused, 7, 8 even, if he's not overused. The other guys, it's 50-50. So Walden comes in the other night. I did a game. He threw 2 outstanding innings. Was huge for that team. Great. He's a 50-50 guy. He'll give you 5 good ones. He'll give you 5 crappy ones. That's not a big league reliever in my mind. Josh Taylor, who's been very good for you, probably gave you 8 out of 10 at one point. You know, now all of a sudden he's given you, you know, 1 or 2 good appearances in the last 6 or 7. So it's about, Hembree's another one. He's maybe 5 or 6 out of 10. I don't look at ERA. I look at, out of 10 appearances, how many can I count on you to come in the game and do your job? The good ones are 8, 9.
See, when
I only got 1 of them, maybe 2.
When you start looking at, say, when was the last time they won a close game? So it's either they've been blown out or they're blowing somebody else out.
Or the one that they've created, you know, made it close. In other words, I say, Porcello on 3 straight starts now has been given a 5-0 lead. Yeah. And he's given it all back to make it a 1-run game.
So the last time they won a close game, it was a Rodriguez start, and it was they won 5-4. But after that, lost 4-10, a 10-8 win. I guess that would be close. That's a Porcello start. But it seems that either they're blowing people out comfortably with a lead, and they usually make it harder on themselves like they did last night, or they're getting smoked. Or, like, their bats just flat out just decide they want the day off. They can't get any runs. And then the next day, they get a bunch of runs. It's like they get smoked in Baltimore against Wojciechowski, whatever the hell his name is.
Asher.
Okay. And then Asher is getting thrown all over the place. Or they blow somebody out. So, to me, this could have gone horribly wrong also. So what's changed? I feel like every Monday we come in here, we say the same thing. So they lose a game that they probably should have won, okay? And then they make up for it the next day. Somebody shows up. They start hitting. They get a huge lead. I think they could have lost it. Okay, but the Rays, they throw in the white flag. They say, you know what, we can't win it anyway. So they put a positional player in there, and then they get an extra run. So now it's 9-4.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I want to sit here and talk about how Erod was outstanding because he was. Do you know, I saw this stat, Boston Sports Inf. It's really simple. When Erod goes six or more, they win. Do you see this?
Yeah.
Erod with the win tonight is the best winning percentage in MLB history. History for a starting pitcher. In games where he goes six innings or more, minimum 50 games, there's over 1,426 people qualify. And his record is 34-4 when he goes 6+. I mean, and last, he seems to be putting it all together. And right now, you know, we go through stretches where, you know, Sale was absolutely dominant for about 11 starts. And Price, for the most part, from start to finish, has been the most consistent. But he's coming off that, what he did Friday night in Baltimore, but the last five, and right now as we speak, you look at Erod saying he's throwing the ball better than anyone in his staff. So last night was a game you had to have. The other positive to me was, you know, Benintendi getting three hits, hitting a lefty, hanging curveball, JD Martinez hitting a bomb, 2-for-5. Those two guys are disappearing acts for them the last 3 weeks. So you need these guys down the stretch. The most important thing is you got a W.
Well, see,
but I can't help but sit there and say, God.
See, that's the thing. So, okay, so you wake up this morning and you realize that the Red Sox are two games behind the A's for the second wild card spot. Who lost? Who did they lose to? They lost to Houston, right?
They need to get pounded
by
Houston.
They only got one run. Okay, you have they're one game behind the Rays for the second in the AL East. So Cleveland won. Okay, they played Toronto. Oakland could only get one run against Houston. Texas lost to Seattle, and you said yesterday, and I agree with you, they're done. But the Angels, I feel like the Angels have replaced Texas.
Maybe. So,
and then you look at the Rays, okay, because I'm not worried about, I figured the, is as bad as it is for the Red Sox, they'll eventually chip away enough to get that second wild card spot. Now you say, yeah, but they have all these issues. Doesn't matter. Other teams have more issues than them. You look at the Rays. They've lost 6 of the last 7, 22 in the last 38. They can't score runs, only 17 in the last 7 games, and they've given up 41 runs. So if you're looking for teams to kind of fall off as you're near the end of the season, looks like the Rays could be one of them. Looks like you thought Texas was going to be. It looks like they're not.
No,
they're
going to
be replaced by
Texas
the Angels.
Texas is an absolute mess, and Sean Kelly, their closer, he's out now. He's got arm issues.
And it looks like Cleveland is replacing. Cleveland, they can win their division.
Yeah,
okay,
three games.
Cleveland, they were down, 11? They were down 11 games at one point. Now they're only down 3?
Yeah, they're going to run and hide.
Okay.
I'm just saying they have Toronto and Kansas City next. I mean, they're playing great baseball right now. It's Oakland.
So back to, Tampa. So fine. So I get it's not perfect. It's not what you want it to be.
Well, you want to get it down to one team. So we talked about that before. You don't want to have to sit there and say, you're behind Texas, you're behind Tampa, you're behind Oakland. You know, going for this final spot. You don't want three teams in front of you to go after. You want it to come down to one. You got an opportunity here to push Tampa even further. Okay, in the next couple of weeks.
So they're doing that. They got to win 2 out of 3.
Maybe it's you and Oakland head-to-head. Now, Oakland's, again, they got Houston right now, and they're going up against Miley and then Verlander. So they could drop a couple here. But you got to start taking care of your own. You know, then they got 4 with Texas, who I said was just dying right now. So you got to take care of these next two. I tell you, you got to take care of them next two because you got Sale and Price. And we saw this against the Dodgers. Erod was a gem.
So they really should sweep.
So you got to take 2 out of 3.
You expected them to sweep is not unrealistic. You should expect them to sweep with two because
with what you have in the mound, there's nothing wrong with saying that.
When it's all said and done, they should be able to pitch their way into the playoffs.
Yeah, but they haven't.
But they should with Price. Just take Price. Take a Sale. Maybe Porcello figures it out. Who knows? Okay, but you didn't think you were going to get what you're getting out of Erod.
No, listen, Christian, I'm with you. But I also sat there and said, you can't lose 2 out of 3 to Baltimore.
Again, that's my point. So So everybody has, so every game has to have a 6-run cushion. You have, your starter has to go 7, and you have to be able to give up 5 runs so you won't lose the game.
Right, you got Sale.
Like, that is your, that is the way they win games.
Well, let me ask you. So, okay, here we go.
Guys,
you're right.
Give us a really big cushion because we're going to screw it up in the 8th and the 9th inning. So in order to protect ourselves, we need 6 runs.
Yeah.
Can you do that? All right, put your hands in. Ready, break.
Let's go Red Sox.
And
this
what it is.
This is the problem because now you're starting to get into games and you're saying, okay, we're playing good teams. It's going to be close games. So I need Barnes rested. I need Workman rested. I don't need to be pitching them when I'm up 8-0 going into the freaking 8th inning. I don't need to burn that bullet because I got Sale Chirinos tonight. Okay, Chirinos is legit. He's filthy. So Sale threw great last outing. Could be a close game. So maybe you got to go Barnes. You got to go Workman here. Okay, and then it comes down to Wednesday's day game because it's Price versus Morton. And that could be the difference in this series. That could be the difference. Okay, you got to take care of business because I'll tell you what. You come back to Fenway Park on Thursday and Friday for a 4-game set against New York, and you come back with Porcello and Cashner. You want to talk about those two or no?
Hold on for Cashner. How hot is it going to be?
It's a night game.
Is it a night game? Oh, it'll be good. He'll be all right.
He goes up, yeah. So it's Porcello, Tanaka, and then Paxton and Cashner. C.C. Erod, David Price, Domingo Herman. Chris Sale and Herman, Sunday night. So I'm, you know, I'd love to sit here and say, you know, with Sale and Price, yeah, I think you should at the least split. And if not, come down to possibly a sweep on Wednesday with Price on the mound. Because, you know, I think you have to do it, given what you're looking at in those first two games against the Yankees.
I think it needs to be every starter needs to be in playoff mode now. I know it's a little early, but hey, guys, I protected you early in the season. I made sure I didn't wear you down. Remember all the issues we had with Sale, or the issues Sale had with himself? Velocity issues? Do you feel like he has velocity issues now?
Yes.
Yes.
I feel like he's not the same. I feel like he's...
It's not the drastic difference that it was earlier in the season.
91. He wasn't throwing 89, but
you think it's still the same issue?
I was kind of laughing because we're sitting there talking about Tommy Pannone, who they're going up against, right? Local kid in Cranston. We're calling him the soft throwing lefty, okay? Because he is. 4-seamers up, breaking ball, changeup. He's throwing a ball 89, 90. Chris Sale's throwing it all 91.
Yeah, but you don't hear, nobody talks about his velocity issues. When we talk, it's command. Is what it is. I saw Cora talked about the way he mimics his release. He says, "Oh, it's the way he throws it."
Listen,
you haven't heard anyone talk about velocity with Sale.
I'm just saying we'll talk to Alex later on in the week. They got a day game Wednesday. I'm not sure when we're talking to him, but it's really simple. I mean, you're a baseball player. You're a hitter. You watch Chris Sale go out there and throw 91 and locate and dominate a lineup. You walk away saying he's not right. Something's wrong. He's not the same guy anymore.
Not great.
When people say, like, oh, the old Chris Sale's back, not even close. The old Sale was 95 to 97 in dominating a lineup and going 7 or 8. 91 going 6 is good. That might be who he is. Now, we might have saw a transition in Chris Sale, and that might make you feel better moving forward. Because, you know, David Price doesn't throw 97 anymore either, and he can still pitch. So we get all excited about what we saw from Chris Sale, but the reality is that he's losing strength in that shoulder. He is not the same guy. When he tries to be the same guy at 97, he can't locate. You know, I deal with my kids, and my own son can throw a baseball hard. But when he tries to throw the ball as hard as he can, he's got no mechanics. He can't control it. And David, I mean, to me, I look at Chris Sale, I sit there and say, he can live at 91 and 93, and that's the reality. And can he still be good? Yes. Yes, he can still be very good. But he's not the old Chris Sale. Something's wrong up there. Something's wrong in that shoulder. Day game, 90, 91. Why do you think he came out throwing 93 in the middle of the innings and then 95, 96, 97 for a pitch or two at the end? Because when your shoulder is what it is with him, it takes a while to loosen up. It's not the same guy. He can still be good. He's just not the same guy. Speaking of other guy, not the same guy, I want to get into the use of Nathan Eovaldi and some of the comments of Alex Cora after the game, because I got to be honest with you. I'm really baffled in how this last 3 or 4 days have gone with Nathan Eovaldi. We'll talk about that next on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.